On Sunday evening, Bloomberg reporter Dana Hull was at home in California when suddenly her phone started blowing up with messages from Tesla employees.
It was like, the layoff rumors are serious, and I'm hearing this and I'm hearing that. And I was like, okay, like Sunday night, that's pretty interesting, because usually when companies lay people off, it's during their work week, not on the weekend.
Dana covers Tesla and all things Elon Musk, so she started reaching out to her contacts, trying to figure out exactly what was happening at Tesla.
I just was like texting people, have you heard anything? Have you heard anything? What's going on? And then I think I went to bed. And then when I woke up, like the news was out, like in the middle of the night, Tesla had sent an email to everyone saying that they were doing a restructuring and that roughly 10% of the global workforce would be impacted. But then also overnight, a lot of people got these layoff notices.
Roughly 14,000 people. The largest workforce cut in Tesla's history. And some people, Dana says, didn't even know what was happening until they actually got to work.
The notification that you were laid off went to your personal email. And many people woke up on Monday morning and were doing the Monday morning thing, like dropping kids at school, racing to work, stuck in traffic, and did not realize that they had been laid off until they got to the office and their badge did not work.
By almost any measure, Tesla has had a rough year, and Dana expected some kind of restructuring was coming.
The company had a very terrible first quarter in terms of car deliveries. They missed their numbers by a mile. Wall Street was disappointed. They have 46,000 excess cars in inventory than they were able to deliver. And the company's business is basically selling cars. So when you have a bad quarter, usually there's a lot of belt tightening. Tesla did not do wide-scale layoffs in 2023, which is when a lot of big tech companies did. So in some senses, they were almost overdue for one. So it was not a surprise.
What is unclear is what Tesla is going to do next. Right now, Elon Musk's strategy for the company can mostly be divined from posts on X. But next week, he has to face investors. That's when Tesla reports its first quarter earnings. So today on the show, what's driving the turmoil at Tesla? It was the leader in electric vehicles, but now its sales are falling fast. I'm Lizzie O'Leary, and you're listening to What Next TBD, a show about technology, power, and how the future will be determined. Stick around. Before we get deep into the various issues at Tesla, I wanted Dana to set the scene for me so we could understand how unusual Tesla's situation is.
So I guess the first thing to know, kind of big picture, is that the automotive industry is very cyclical. The first quarter of the year tends to be slow across the board. We also saw like big competitors like China's BYD have like less than stellar numbers. But what was really interesting is that Tesla's deliveries in the first quarter were an 8.5% drop from the quarter a year ago. And that's significant. You can't just blame the first quarter anymore. You're now seeing a company that has long been a growth stock not showing growth. And there was all this excitement about the Cybertruck. But so far, like the Cybertruck is not really out there in full force. Like I've seen a few driving around in the Bay Area. There are some in LA. There's some in Texas. But Tesla has not broken out with any hard numbers how many Cybertrucks they've actually delivered. So there's already kind of a sense that this vehicle, which was supposed to be the halo vehicle that would get everyone excited about the brand, is not exactly off to a great start.
Since the start of this year, Tesla's stock is down more than 30%. And the company has lost more than $200 billion in market cap. It also has a very concrete problem. Too many cars that no one is buying.
Most legacy automakers like Ford, GM, you know, they have a whole dealer network in the countries where they operate. So they make the cars and then they basically ship them and sell them to the dealers. And then the dealers try to sell them in turn. Tesla sells all of its vehicles directly to consumers, which is great when you're in like an up market, but not so great when you're in a down market, because now that excess inventory, Tesla has to store those cars somewhere. It's a big logistical problem to have 46,000 cars sitting in lots around the world, and they hold it on their balance sheet. Like, so every car that is not sold, it's like it's dead weight. They've got to move it. We saw a lot of inventory discounts as the quarter came to an end, but it just still wasn't enough.
Elon Musk has said he wants to, and I'm quoting here, streamline the whole Tesla sales and delivery system. What does that mean?
You know, we don't really have many details beyond what Elon tweets. I have no idea. I mean, he has been promising improvements to the sales and delivery process for quite a long time. He's always like, oh, this is a top priority, but I guess it's going to be another priority again. I think that the website was a little confusing because they tweaked their pricing and they offered so many different incentives that I think that maybe now there's a sense of like, okay, we can't just keep cutting our way to profitability, or we can't keep cutting. We've got to figure out a different way to kind of sell these cars.
One of the things that I think is so interesting from a business standpoint, and this is harsh because we're talking about people's jobs here, but usually Wall Street likes a layoff announcement. When you cut jobs, a stock tends to go up. Investors like that. That is not what's happening here.
Yeah, that was really interesting. I mean, Monday was sort of a bad day for the market in general because the market was concerned about Iran and Israel and like perhaps being on the verge of World War III. But yes, you're right. In general, the horrible thing about capitalism is that investors like layoffs. And in this case, they did not, because I think they seemed somewhat haphazard. There wasn't like a clear, like, we are shutting down this division. It was just like, we're doing this corporate restructuring, but like without laying out what the rationale for the restructuring was as clearly as some investors probably had hoped.
Instead, investors are stuck trying to figure out what Elon Musk means from his various social media posts. In one, he said that, quote, going balls to the wall for autonomy, unquote, would be an obvious move for the company.
Elon Musk has been obsessed with autonomy and the idea of a robotaxi fleet for years. For him, it's like it's always around the corner. And this was all part of the master plan part two that he published to great fanfare in July of 2016. I think what's happening now is that he's maybe feeling like, what can I do to keep the hope alive and to keep Tesla valued as a tech stock? And autonomy and AI and robotics is very clearly it. So Tesla is increasingly trying to position itself as not a car company, but a tech and AI company. The problem is that their business right now is largely selling cars, and that business is really struggling, as it is for many EV makers.
We're going to get deep into the EV market, but I got to talk about Elon, right? Like, it's impossible to talk about this company without talking about him. Is there a way to quantify what his behavior may have cost the company in the past year?
That's a great question, Lizzie, and it's one that I wish I had a quantifiable answer to. I mean, anecdotally, there are lots of customers, particularly here in California, who are so upset by Musk's behavior, you know, whether it's anti-Semitism or being anti-trans or all the potshots at Joe Biden or his stance on Ukraine or Taiwan, who are like, I'm never buying a Tesla again, or I have a Tesla and I'm leasing it, and when the lease is up, I'm turning it in and I'm going to get something else. And for like a decade, Tesla had the field to itself. There really wasn't an alternate EV maker. Now there actually are, and consumers are voting with their wallets. So what you're seeing is that Tesla is losing market share. It's not clear who is gaining market share at their expense, but you also have to be very careful because a lot of people that are like, I'm never buying a Tesla. Like, the truth is maybe they would never buy a Tesla in general because interest rates are high. So it's like, I do think that the brand has suffered because the brand is so intertwined with Elon. And it is why most corporate CEOs really try to stay out of politics. They don't want their own personal politics to impact the brand in any way. And Elon is the exact opposite.
Well, and I think you could arguably say, maybe at the beginning, people who bought Teslas were doing that for the environmentalist sheen. They had, you know, made a concerted decision to go with an EV. And those are maybe very much not the people who are psyched about Elon.
Correct. They see this mission creep. Like, Tesla used to be all about clean energy and climate change. And now Musk seems to be, you know, sort of increasingly parroting right-wing talking points and is all about autonomy. And there's an argument to be made that autonomy is part of the EV vision, but I don't think the company has made that very clearly yet. And it's really more about Elon's tweets are so bombastic, and it's all about him trying to get engagement on X, this platform that he bought. But I mean, if you have strong politics, which many early EV owners do, I mean, I think a lot of people are upset. And I think it is impacting the brand, and it is probably impacting sales. It's just hard to quantify.
When we come back, do other EV makers have a little Schadenfreude right now? We're talking obviously about Tesla today, but the overall EV industry is struggling. Sales have slowed, though Teslas have slowed significantly more than the rest of the EV industry at large. How much of this do you think is an EV issue, and how much of this is Tesla specific?
It is a broader EV issue, and it's really because of high interest rates. I mean, that is a fact. When interest rates are like above 7%, every purchase is more expensive. It's really hard to get a mortgage or afford a mortgage. Big ticket items become much more expensive. A lot of people finance their cars, then you're rolling this high interest rate into the financing of a car. So that's just like weighing on people. I think we've also seen a lot of like disinformation and stuff out in the world about how, oh, charging sucks. To be fair, charging can still be a challenge, particularly if you live in an apartment building and don't have access to a garage or a home charger. But like, it's still a big step change for people. And, you know, the narrative now is like, oh, consumers don't really want EVs. They want hybrids. I don't know if that's really true, but there is a sense that like not every consumer is willing to make the switch to EVs, even though certainly like the policy prerogatives of many world governments are to try to push us in that direction.
Are other EV makers watching this week in Tesla thinking, uh-oh, or do you think they're confident that some of this is really limited to Tesla?
So I think a lot of the larger companies are sort of pulling back their timelines and waiting to see, frankly, what happens in November with the election, because, you know, the Biden administration placed a lot of big bets on EVs, and the Inflation Reduction Act has tons of incentives for consumers and for manufacturers to sort of go all in on EVs. With the election being close again, like that's a little bit up in question. Like, I don't know the regulatory tools in which like the IRA would be completely scrapped, but there's a lot of unknowns. And if anything, companies don't like unknowns. They tend to plan in 3 and 5 and 7 year product cycles. And so I think you're just going to see like a little bit of a retrenchment until the election is decided.
I think a thing that I took away from your reporting is that we're not just talking about layoffs. Two very senior executives at Tesla also resigned. And I wonder what that tells you about the future of this company and the direction that it's heading in.
Yeah, so Tesla only has 4 named executive officers. It's Elon Musk, it's the CFO, it's Tom Zhu, who kind of oversees automotive, and then it was Drew Baglino, who is the vice president of like energy and powertrain. Drew is one of the 4 named executives who resigned. And that is a big loss. I mean, Drew had been at Tesla for years. He was a Stanford graduate who had been at the company from the early days. He was kind of the de facto CTO. And his departure is like, okay, wow. Like, I don't know exactly what happened there in terms of the backstory, but I think it's a sign that like the company is moving in this direction where it's really all about autonomy. And maybe it's a good time to just take a break. The other person who resigned was Rohan Patel, who was Tesla's man in Washington. He's a former Obama White House administration official, kind of the architect of their whole strategy of potentially entering India, their main business development and policy person. You know, when Elon Musk went to Capitol Hill to talk about AI, like Rohan was right by his side. And so his departure is also like a significant loss, because if you are thinking about a future with autonomy, that requires like a pretty serious policy, regulatory, legal mechanism to kind of help you get there.
On Wednesday, Tesla filed its proxy statement in preparation for its June shareholder meeting. It asked shareholders to approve paying Elon Musk $56 million, something that was voted on back in 2018, but got held up in court. This might seem strange given the current state of Tesla, but Elon has met the goals that the board set out.
The proxy contains 2 big nuggets. The first is the company is going to leave Delaware and reincorporate in Texas, and they want shareholders to vote again on the pay package from 2018. Instead of coming up with a new pay package, they just want a re-vote. Like, we believe that Elon deserves this money. It's kind of a bold move because the Delaware one is still like up in the air, and that like Tesla is still in the process of appealing the Delaware decision, but I think it's like a vote of confidence that shareholders know exactly what they're getting. And from, you know, Elon Musk and the Tesla board's perspective, like, this is a man who deserves to be paid. You know, we gave him this crazy pay package 6 years ago with all of these wild milestones. He met them. He deserves this money. They just basically are asking shareholders to reaffirm the package that was already voted on 6 years ago.
Any sense of what shareholders are going to do? Because the Elon Musk of 2024 is pretty different from the Elon Musk of 2018.
He is pretty different. I mean, he went and bought Twitter. He's doing all these other things. His empire continues to grow. I suspect that it will pass. I mean, there are a huge number of retail shareholders that have already been like writing letters to the judge being like, we think he deserves it. And according to the proxy today, some of the largest shareholders actually like also seem to be in support of it. So I don't think that they would have put it out for a vote if they weren't pretty confident that it would pass.
On Tuesday, Elon Musk will face investors, talking about Tesla's first quarter earnings and how the rest of the year might shake out. Dana's expecting to see shrinking margins and weaker earnings per share, but the real drama won't be in the earnings report.
The big show is the call itself, because that's Elon Musk on the phone with Wall Street analysts. Scores of employees and investors dial into this call. Like, I don't know how many thousands of people listen to the call, but a lot of people listen to the call. And then it's really about his tone. Is he euphoric and excited and talking up the future? Is he morose and depressed? Like, is he snippy with the analysts or expansive? People have a lot of questions about, you know, this whole robotaxi FSD thing, but also like he's supposed to go to India pretty soon. So I'm wondering actually if he's going to do the call from India. He's reportedly taking a trip, you know, to meet with Modi. And, you know, India has long been eager to kind of shore up a domestic EV market. So, you know, so it's going to be a very interesting call.
One of the last times I had you on the show, we talked about succession within Tesla. And this was a big question. Can you have a Tesla without Elon Musk? What is Tesla without Elon Musk? Have any of the succession questions gotten any clearer?
No, they haven't. And the whole thinking was that the successor would be one of the four named executives. Like, so Drew could potentially have been a successor. And he is now gone, Drew Baglino. So no, they haven't. And Tesla still does not have anyone in like a clear number two role. Like at SpaceX, Elon is the CEO. Gwynne Shotwell is the vice president and like chief operating officer. So it's like, it's very clear that Gwynne is the clear number two, but you don't have that at Tesla. I mean, I'm sure the board is discussing it. I don't want to make it sound like it's ignoring it, but it has not been conveyed to shareholders what the succession plan is.
That's got to be something they want to hear.
I would think so too. And the other thing that's interesting is that, back to Musk tweets again, you know, he had made it pretty clear that he wants a bigger stake in Tesla. Like he said something like, if I don't have 25% stake, I'm not sure if I feel confident like pursuing AI and robotics, like I might take it elsewhere. So he was kind of indicating like, not only does he want to get paid, but like he wants more of a stake in the company than he currently owns. Of course, he sold down his stake to help fund the purchase of Twitter. So this is right. Like sort of all a mess of his own doing. But like, if they want him to be a CEO who's going to stick around, like they need to give him more of the company. That's basically what he said.
Dana Hull, as always, thank you for your reporting and for coming on.
Always a pleasure.
Dana Hull is a reporter for Bloomberg News who covers Tesla, SpaceX, and all things Elon Musk. She's also a contributor to the Bloomberg podcast, Elon Inc. That's it for the show today. What Next TBD is produced by Patrick Fort, Anna Phillips, and Shayna Roth. Our show is edited by Evan Campbell. Alicia Montgomery is vice president of audio for Slate, and TBD is part of the larger What Next family. And if you like what we are doing here, the best way to support us is to join Slate Plus. Just head on over to slate.com/whatnextplus to sign up. All right, we'll be back on Sunday with another episode. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Thanks for listening.